Please rise. This evening's message I've entitled A Timely Festival, the Annunciation of Our Lord, and it's based on the gospel reading for this evening, especially the 31st verse. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Please be seated. Well, we began our service a little bit differently, especially being in the Lenten season as well, having sung the angel Gabriel from heaven above. And it's from the Advent section of the hymnal. I'm half expecting that someone might leave this evening, perhaps shaking their head, saying that, boy, Christmas preparations have come earlier and earlier than ever. Used to be you could wait till Thanksgiving, but sounds like you have to start in March now. Well, let's not draw any false conclusions, because the Christian church isn't exactly preparing for Christmas, but she does acknowledge that if we celebrate the fact that Jesus was born in the fullness of time, and if we celebrate that on December 25th, which is probably as good a date as any to pick, then we would celebrate what happened 9 months earlier on March 25th. Well, what happened? What happened 9 months earlier from December 25th was that the angel Gabriel came in fulfillment of God's sign given to Ahaz 700-800 years previously. The angel Gabriel came to Mary saying, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, and he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High." Tonight, we reflect on the fact that Jesus was conceived in the womb of Mary. He entered fully into the human experience. He assumed human flesh exactly like our own human flesh. He grew and developed in the womb as we all grow and develop in the womb, live as humanity, though derived from Mary alone, and was made pure and holy and assumed into the full divinity of God, the Son, by the operation of the Holy Spirit. He grew and developed in the womb, even as he later grew from infancy through childhood and adolescence into adulthood, even as the Bible says, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." Such a reflection on our Lord's person, and in particular, his developing humanity beginning there in the womb, reminds us that Jesus might relate to all ages that we go through, whether still days old in the womb or even in the days of adulthood. Jesus lived through and survived a most vulnerable time for human beings, most vulnerable time for human beings to be alive. Because abortion was quite common in Roman times, even it is even more common in our own. Can you imagine what it would have been like if Planned Parenthood had set up a shop in Nazareth? Can you imagine the pressure which would have been placed upon the teenage Mary? You're an unwed mother as of yet, unable to provide for the baby. Perhaps you would be best to abort. Or you're too young to have a baby. You have your whole life ahead of you for that. Perhaps it would have been best for you to wait until Joseph gets the carpenter shop established before you venture forth and have children. Or you need time, you know, just to be a couple. But despite all of the pressures associated with this unique and unplanned pregnancy, Mary had faith. And this faith, being a gift of God, was a faith that would sustain her. Her faith was in God, who would protect and provide for the family. And she trusted that Joseph, the guardian of Jesus, would be the means through which the family would be provided for. She trusted that Jesus, meaning the one who saves, would also be her Savior and her salvation. And what an incredible means of salvation would he provide. The epistle reading for this evening from Hebrews chapter 10 gives us insight into this. Mary, as a child obedient to the law, knew about all of the sacrificial system. She knew about the sacrifices of bulls and goats to take away sin. But she knew that really it was a foreshadowing of some sacrifice greater to come. Such as these were always a shadow, a sign of the greater sacrifice to come. So Hebrews 10 says, "For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins." Consequently, when Christ came into the world, notice it makes reference to the fact when he came into the world, when he was conceived, he would later say, "Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body have you prepared for me." Indeed, what a body of sacrifice did our Lord have? Incarnate, fully human, growing in the womb of Mary so that he might be able to die. And overshadowing Mary, as the gospel reading says, overshadowing Mary is the Holy Spirit, that he might be fully divine so that the sacrifice would be rich enough to pay for our sins. What power, therefore, resided in Jesus, the one who saves? Now, we would not need to wait for his death to know of his power. Mary would soon experience the power of the Christ, even as he was just days old following his conception, days old in the womb. You might wonder, what could such a tiny babe in the womb do when he was still smaller than the head of a needle? The appointed gospel reading tells us of God's ability to manage the impossible, lift her aged cousin Elizabeth, who was to give birth to John the Baptist. Mary hurried into the hill country to a town in Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. The small unborn baby, John the Baptist, we know, just 6 months in the womb of Elizabeth, leaped, having heard the greeting of Mary. But we know that it was much more than the voice of Mary that caused the yet unborn John the Baptist to leap with joy. It was the fact that the unborn Christ, now only days old in the womb, conveyed his divinity beyond the walls of Mary's womb into the infant heart of John. We know this as Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." Jesus is the fruit of her womb. Mary then sang the wondrous song of praise known as the Magnificat. "He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate." Jesus, who in the womb caused John the Baptist also in the womb to leap, he leapt in worship. And when he finally manifested himself in Bethlehem, that is, when Jesus finally manifested himself outside of the womb in Bethlehem, he would continue to reign as king even without speech. For he caused Herod and all Jerusalem who heard of his coming to be troubled. So fearful was he that he sent soldiers to kill Jesus, and in so doing took all the boys of Bethlehem as a collateral damage in his rage. The kingship of the conceived and yet unborn Christ needs no regent as the human princes. Although he does not speak, our Lord reigns. Although he does not yet stand, he nevertheless commands. And so, in the psalm appointed for today, we hear of the kingdom. We hear of his throne. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of your kingdom is a scepter of uprightness. But even so, the psalm, as does Mary's song, betrays the nature of his kingship as being one of sacrifice, his mission for having entered into the world in the first place. Your robes are all fragrant, live myrrh and aloes, Psalm 45:8. And from the Magnificat, a sword will pierce your own soul also. The conception of the Christ and the death of Christ, they're two events that we're reminded this evening, they're very much united events. How wondrous is the ancient collect. That's the little prayer at the beginning, which historians believe must have been composed when the festival of the Annunciation was first celebrated, most likely early in the second century. Since it draws together the incarnation of Christ, live his cross and his passion. And so I think it wise to pray it again. O Lord, as we have known the incarnation of your Son, Jesus Christ, by the message of the angel to the Virgin Mary, so by the message of his cross and passion, bring us to the glory of his resurrection. Through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. In this way, since our Lord's incarnation is so closely connected with his death, we know that this festival of the Annunciation is a most timely festival, especially as it's celebrated in the Lenten season. It is always a timely festival in knowing the value of the body, the value of the sacrifice for our sins, even as he grows from conception to birth, to childhood, adolescence, and into adulthood, all so that he might relate to us and be that perfect sacrifice for our sins, that we may enter into heaven with him. May we continue worshiping on this festival of the Annunciation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please rise for prayer.